Radio Ranch in beautiful Sugarland, Texas, where life truly is sweeter. It's the Bombastic Blogcast for Friday, February the 16th, 2024. I'm the G-Man, Dan Gallo.
Hey, G-Man.
Hey there yourself. Defender of the peace, keeper of the justice, purveyor of truth, and one heck of a nice guy. And of course it is Hawaiian Shirt Friday. Let's do the Hawaiian Shirt Friday fight song. Sing it loud and proud. That's the way you do it. Truly the sweetest sound this side of heaven. And to get things started officially,
the Daily Datagram.
Words of wisdom, words of inspiration, brain droppings, or noggin nuggets, you get to make the call. It says here, worry pulls tomorrow's cloud over today's sunshine. Whoa. Very true, yep. And I'm worried that tomorrow it might rain.
I got a bad feeling about this.
Let's move along now to the so-called educational part of the blogcast.
Twisted history.
Here we go.
Gather around, kids, because a lot of things happen on this day throughout history.
Important.
Some cool, some not so cool. Just the same, you need to know your twisted history.
Yes, you do.
You might be quizzed.
See? Well, kids, it was on this day in 1923... Howard Carter unsealed the burial chamber of Pharaoh Tutankhamun. And within a few years, he and all those who entered that tomb with him died strange deaths. And it was on this day in 1968 in Haleyville, Alabama, the first 911 emergency telephone system went into effect. And imagine that, though. You know, a little town, Haleyville, Alabama, got the jump on the rest of the country with a novel new way to report emergencies. Go figure.
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
Before I get started, I want to apologize for the interruptions in my website over the last week. Been several of them. Apparently, there's a real reason for that. I was issued a new credit card at the beginning of the year, and it's the same account number, but on the back of the card, I have a new security code. And apparently that's what jumbled things up. Now, my web host is a company that has no telephone. Everything is done through emails or through their website. So it's just a case of sending emails back and forth and hoping that they read it in a timely fashion and act on it. Well, for the kind of service I've gotten from them over the years, and the reasonable prices, I've decided, okay, fine. This sort of thing happens, but I'm sorry for the interruptions. Now, let's get started with what's happening here in the world around us. Nine rank-and-file Department of Homeland Security officials were speaking to Jenny Tare, who's an investigative reporter with the Daily Caller, and told her that they supported the House's passage of impeachment against impeachment articles against DHS Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. Now that vote, as I mentioned the other day, that vote was a very tight vote. It was 214 to 213. That went down on Tuesday. The House voted to impeach Mayorkas over his handling or failure to handle the southern border amid what's been record illegal immigration. I don't like the word immigration. I mean, I like the word immigration, and I like the concept of immigration, but what's happening isn't immigration, it's invasion. Now, seven Border Patrol agents and two Immigration and Customs officials expressed their, how shall we call it, animosity toward Mayorkas, but said that there's still a long road ahead in fixing the southern border despite the action. Oh, yeah, to be sure, it's going to take a lot more than just this impeachment article. That's all there is to that. I mean, it's a major overhaul that's required. There should be a lot of firings in Washington as well. But the Daily Caller granted anonymity to the officials who actually are not authorized to speak publicly. And one ICE official said, "We have laws in place that are not being enforced due to Mayorkas' leadership. If agents and officers were authorized to enforce the laws enacted by Congress, this influx wouldn't have occurred. But instead, he pushes for agents and officers to process and release individuals as quickly as possible. Individuals are released into the United States with minimal background checks and minimal follow-up." You pretty much know the drill, right? You've been following this stuff. Let me tell you what I believe is really happening here. And more often than not, I'm right about this kind of stuff. So I'm going to go ahead and rely once again on my intuition. What's happening here is, as you know, Barack Obama is running the White House. He has been ever since day one of the Biden administration. Barack Obama hates America. Barack Obama hates the United States of America because of our imperialistic nature and our racism, our systemic racism. So he's carrying out his hatred against the people of the United States of America by opening our borders and allowing anybody and everybody, regardless of their background, regardless of their criminal background, to just come in, get tagged, and released into our country. Now, the full effect of this won't be felt for another 20 years. 20 years from now, I can only imagine some of the nightmare scenarios that we're going to be facing as a nation. But that is what's happening. Barack Obama, who managed to, with help from his friends, managed to scuttle the 2020 election, and he's going to try to do this election as well. He's trying to hang on to power so that he can continue destroying the United States. He's an evil man. He's just outright evil. And we had one Border Patrol agent who responded to the news of Mayorkas' impeachment by saying, F that puto, referring to the masculine version of the Spanish slur meaning prostitute. All right. And the first agent said, this most likely won't change anything, but it's a symbolic win and one heck of a statement to make in an election year, which it is. Now, illegal, okay, I got to use the word immigration. Illegal immigration at the southern border hit record highs during Mayorkas' tenure. We all know this. For instance, in fiscal year 22, the Border Patrol recorded more than 2.2 million encounters with people trying to illegally cross. That's encounters. That doesn't count the how many groups of thousands. Are we talking tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands? Are we talking millions of people who snuck in over the border? Unencountered. Now, the fiscal year 23, Border Patrol recorded more than 2 million encounters of illegal migrants at the southern border. And that's according to official federal data. And again, when it comes to federal data, how much information do the feds not have? And a second agent said, Mayorkas was a total dumpster fire and never owned up to the crisis he created with his disastrous policies. But I don't think the Senate's going to remove him, which sucks. Which is true. And it's not really Mayorkas' policies. Mayorkas is merely carrying out what Barack Obama wants. Third Border Patrol agent said, it's definitely a step in the right direction. It's just embarrassing that it took 9 million plus illegal aliens invading our country before he was finally held accountable. And that's a great point. I mean, don't be so eager to pat the Republicans on the back for forcing this through there in the House. Don't pat them on the back. This should have been done a long time ago. Now, some DHS officials said that while they believe this is a good move, it's just a small part of the problem. Had a fourth agent who said it's about time, but the border's far greater than him. He's just the scapegoat to the true evil behind it. All for show. They passed more spending for Ukraine. See, these agents are not dummies. A fifth agent said, a pleasant surprise for sure, but I don't know if it's going to change anything. Now, the impeachment articles charged Mayorkas with willful and systemic refusal to comply with the law and breach of public trust. And this is all largely for his handling or failure to handle the southern border. A second ICE official said, too little too late, honestly. Should have been done 3 years ago if they truly wanted to change the border situation. And why wasn't Kamala impeached as well, since she was considered and appointed the border czar by the president? Excellent point. He says it's just a political stunt to show the Republicans are tough on the border after they voted to pass the terrible border security bill. Again, excellent point. A sixth agent said, that's fantastic. If we can get him out, that's three of the four asshat clowns gone. We just need to get Sleepy Joe out, and hopefully we can start securing the homeland again like our department title says we're supposed to be doing. And then a seventh agent said, impeaching the secretary won't disrupt the administration's goal of allowing millions of illegal aliens into the country. Tra-la. He says, as long as this administration remains in place, the chaos at the border will continue. Policy changes need to be implemented immediately. And then naturally, according to the Daily Caller, they said DHS didn't immediately respond to the DCNF's request for comment. Of course not. They're not going to comment unless it benefits them. In the wake of that shooting up in Kansas City the other day, it was a sad affair, and I don't know any of the real details behind it, but something like that, an incident like that, would cause one to wonder. When Border Patrol agents arrested more illegal aliens whose names appeared on the terror watch list between October and January than in fiscal years 2017 through 2021 combined. And this is according to Customs and Border Protection data. And it was just updated back on Tuesday. Now, Border Patrol nabbed 59 illegal aliens on the terror watch list nationwide in the four-month span. Again, this is according to federal data. This is what they're admitting to. Now, between fiscal year 2017 and 2021, Border Patrol nabbed 30 individuals whose names appeared on that watch list. Border Patrol apprehensions of terror watch-listed migrants hit 172 in fiscal year 23 and 98 in fiscal year 22. So the numbers keep going up and up and up and up and up. What was it I said in the first segment? Just watch, 20 years from now, this open border, the effects of this open border, that's when it's going to rear its ugly head. May not take that long, maybe 15. But I want to thank the people at the Daily Caller. They seem to be the only organization in the media who are doing a deep dive on this border issue. And they reported on an influx of terror watch-listed migrants illegal crossing the border several times in just the last couple of years. Now, on February 5th, Border Patrol arrested an Afghan national whose name appeared on the terror watch list after he crossed the border into California. And this is according to an internal federal memo, and it was exclusively obtained by the DCNF, Daily Caller News Foundation. Now, ICE officers in Minnesota arrested in January a member of the Somali terror group Al-Shabaab, who crossed the southern border illegally after authorities had released him. And that's the thing that really angers me. Authorities had released him. Now, federal authorities released for one day a Pakistani national who illegally crossed, again, into California. This was in November. His name appeared on the terror watch list, and that's according to an ICE memo. Federal authorities also warned Border Patrol after the October 7th terrorist attack on Israel to keep watch for Hamas, Palestinian Islamic Jihad, and Hezbollah terrorists, possibly crossing the southern border illegally, of course. I mean, they're not going to come in with visas, are they? And again, this was according to an internal memo. Now, how much longer is this going to go on? Well, it's going to go on as long as we allow it. And by we, I'm talking about you and me. I mean, is it time for us to take to the streets? Barack Obama's over there in his lavish mansion, just, you know, with his puppet strings, his remote controls, running the White House, destroying the nation, which is what he wants to do. To understand why all of this is happening, you have to understand who's really behind the Biden administration. And you have to understand the level of hatred he has, not just for the United States, but for the Western world in general. Barack Obama is a dangerous, dangerous individual. And of course, the Soros organization is all too happy to chime in with him. And this guy is Alexander Soros, George Soros' son. Even though he's just totally inarticulate, every other term out of his mouth is, you know, he's every bit as inarticulate as Caroline Kennedy. Yeah, it's that bad. But he's carrying out his father's wishes. Because for his part, Alexander Soros believes everything his father taught him. Complete, total destruction of the Western world, the Judeo-Christian culture, the culture that brought us wealth unlike anything the world had seen up to our high point. And I would call our high point, when it comes to our prosperity, our high point was the immediate post-World War II era. Certainly the 1950s. And the 50s weren't all hearts and roses either. My God, we had three recessions in the 1950s, in 52, 54, and 58. And then to compound matters in 1958, but I think what brought on the recession was the steel strike. And I'm not a union guy. I am a member of a union, but I'm not a union guy. And the unions basically screwed the American steel industry with that devastating steel strike in 1958, basically handing the steel industry lock, stock, and barrel. No, you don't hand it lock, stock, and barrel. You hand it on a silver platter. Okay, there we go. My metaphors are a little off today. Hey, what the heck? It's Friday. But basically handing on a silver platter the steel industry to the Japanese. By the late 1960s, the Japanese were able to import iron ore from Hibbing, Minnesota, ship it to Japan, turn it into steel, and sell it back to us cheaper than we could domestically make our own steel. Then to compound problems in the 1960s and 70s, the EPA came along and started shutting down steel plants in places like Birmingham, Alabama, and Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Not a pretty picture. Again, goes to what I've been saying over and over and over again when I watch what we do to ourselves as Americans. We have met the enemy, and he is us. And so it goes with our border. We have met the enemy, and he is us. No, he's Barack Obama. And yet, we don't do anything about it. Had a little bit in the way of fireworks in the hallways of the Capitol building on Wednesday when Republican Representative MTG Marjorie Taylor Greene of Georgia said that British Foreign Secretary David Cameron can kiss my after he compared opponents of Ukraine aid to the appeasement of Adolf Hitler in the 1930s prior to World War II. Wow. Yeah, Cameron made the comparison in an op-ed that appeared in The Hill, implying that failure to pass a $95 billion foreign aid bill for Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan would be similar to the weakness displayed against Hitler. And, okay, in Cameron's defense, maybe I understand why he's justified or feels that he's justified in drawing that kind of a comparison. I mean, yeah, UK is pretty close. They're far closer to that Ukraine situation than we are, physically, geographically. But I don't know. The Senate passed the legislation by a 70-29 vote. And that was early Tuesday morning, following a Republican filibuster, too, by the way. But it still faces a questionable future in the House of Representatives. Now, Green told a Sky News reporter in a video, I have the audio, but, the acoustics in the hallway were lousy anyhow. So let me just go ahead and quote. She says, David Cameron needs to worry about his own country, and frankly, he can kiss my... That's exactly what she said. However, the reporter didn't lose a step. He never missed a beat. He went in to try another question, but anyhow... Here's what Green posted on X. She said, David Cameron should be concerned about the Nazis in Ukraine's army, the Azov Battalion. We're all sick of the absurd name calling. It isn't going to bully me into funding the war in Ukraine. And then we had a couple of other Republican lawmakers who also blasted Cameron, who, by the way, you remember him? He was a former British, he's a former British prime minister. So they blasted him for making the comparison. And Chip Roy, my boy from Texas, He says, we're not afraid to do what we need to do around the world when it's necessary, but continuing to fund and to continue endless conflict, which is what we've been doing for the better part of two decades in this country, is not in our national security interest, and I don't believe it's in the interest of the people of Ukraine. The man is 100% right. 100% right. You wonder why we have inflation? That's it right there. It's not the sole cause, but it's the majority cause, all the money we're giving to Ukraine. And the money that's actually earmarked for Ukraine is bundled with other pork barrel goodies in these bills, funding stupid stuff that neither you nor I will ever benefit from. And then you had Republican Mike Waltz of Florida, who's a former Green Beret, and he urged the British to pay more attention to demanding that the rest of Europe contribute their fair share rather than demanding the United States sign a blank check. Amen. And how much longer is this going to go on? I mean, our national debt is expected to hit $50 trillion. $50 trillion. I think they said by 2050. Oh, it'll easily hit that way before 2050. It'll hit it by 2035 if we don't reel in this spending. We're spending this nation to extinction. Word finally got out that Jared Kushner is not going to be participating in any future Trump administration. And, well, this decision marks a pretty important shift for Kushner, who was really a key figure in the Trump administration from 2017 to 21. His tenure in the White House was marked by his involvement in a few high-profile projects and diplomatic efforts, particularly the crafting of the Middle East peace plan, which went beautifully. I don't know that Kushner's ever going to get the credit that he deserves for that either. But that's not why you do that, right? Anyhow, his departure from the arena of politics kind of raises questions about the future composition of Trump's potential administration and any direction that it may take without one of its previously central figures. But one person does not an administration make, unless, of course, it's the president himself. And during a recent conference in Miami, Kushner expressed his contentment with life outside of the political spotlight, which is understandable. You know, I mean, he's 43 years old, raising a family, got a gorgeous wife, Ivanka. They have three kids. He's got his business ventures, which are big, big, big. And he pretty much indicated a desire to just generally maintain a work-life balance that, you know, any job in the White House just wouldn't allow. I mean, if you're going to work in the White House, you have to give your entire life over to it. And he described his 4 years serving under President Trump as hectic, acknowledging the relentless pace and pressure associated with his former role. So his decision to step back kind of reflects a personal choice to prioritize his own well-being and professional aspirations. And you've got to respect that. I mean, there are people out there who are just hungry for power. They don't care. They'll do whatever it takes to get their name in the news every darn day. They want to be in front of the cameras and the microphones and say important things to impress important people. And obviously, that's not Jared Kushner, so you got to respect the guy for that. Now, Larry Schweikert tweeted, he says, file under good news. Jared Kushner won't be involved in President Trump's next term. I respect him greatly for his funding of the 2016 campaign. Trump couldn't have won without him. But his hysterical China virus position really hurt President Trump. Now, that's an important tweet. I still call them tweets, even though it's now X. What are we going to call them? X's? So the implications of Kushner's announcement are multifaceted. On one hand, it signals a new chapter for Kushner himself, who I guess is trying to carve out a path independent of the political legacy of his in-laws. On the other hand, it suggests a potential reshuffling of the inner circle around Trump. But Donald Trump will handle that. He always does. critics of the Trump administration just, I don't know, they may view Kushner's withdrawal as a sign of internal discord or a lack of unity among Trump's closest allies, but I think to draw that conclusion is a mistake. Supporters are likely to respect Kushner's decision to focus on his family and business. Now, as the 2024 election approaches, and it is approaching, it is careening headlong toward us, I think all eyes are going to be on Trump's campaign and the team that he builds. Because without Kushner, there's undoubtedly going to be speculation about who's going to fill the void and whether this will lead to a new strategic approach. But Kushner's absence from the campaign trail really doesn't diminish the importance of his contributions during his White House tenure. He did a good job. Fine. Let it be that. Let that just be part of history. So Kushner's announcement that he's not going to serve in a potential future Trump administration is, that's an important development, but it's not the end of the world, certainly. I mean, we're only talking about the political landscape here. And so this kind of underscores the personal choices that individuals are going to have to take. They're going to have to make when balancing public service with private life. And if he doesn't follow through with his plans to devote himself more to his family and his business, it would only destroy him in the future. I mean, I like Donald Trump. I want Donald Trump to be our president, but I can imagine what it's like working for a man like that who demands 100% loyalty and dedication to the job at hand. And that's the way it should be. But for an individual trying to decide whether to do that or not, wow, what a choice. Let's head on into the Comedy Corner with Chris Martin, and please pardon his British accent.
I'm married. I love being married. I'm very pro-marriage. I was single my whole life, and then I got married, and this is the only person I've ever been with. 10 years, we've been together, very happy. Thank you, it's nice. I love it. It's great. It's being married to someone means you get some honest feedback that you are not expecting to get from anyone else on earth. My favourite bit of honest feedback from my wife came recently when I'm a little bit paranoid about my height, and I say why, is that I'm not actually short, but for some reason, people assume I'm short, and like, people think I'm like 5'6", 5'5", but I'm like 5'10 and a half, 5'11 in the morning. I'm like a decent height. I'm above average height for a man in the UK. I've Googled it. I know I'm not short. I was trying to work out, why does everyone always assume I'm short? And I asked my wife, do you know why people think I'm short? Without even missing a beat, she goes, oh, yeah, yeah, it's because you've got a small man's face. Do you know what I hate about that joke? That is a phrase none of you had heard till 4 seconds ago. And I could feel in the room that the more you looked at my face, the more you went, yeah, she is correct. He has got a small man's face, yeah. But it's awesome when you get married, because I hear so many comedians talk about men and women being different. They'll say men do this and women do that. The thing I've noticed is men and women, we're a lot more similar than I realised. And it comes from learning different things about each other. Like, quite recently, we had like a disagreement, me and my wife, and I'm kind of conflict averse. But at the end of it, she tried to kind of explain what was going on. She said to me, just Chris, what I wish you understood about me is when I'm upset, all I want is a man to hold me and tell me everything is going to be okay. And I remember thinking, that is also what I want. If I'm honest, deep down, when I'm feeling fragile, all I want is to be held by a man, a big one, if I'm choosing. You know those stupidly muscly guys with those weird things there, and those lines? What are those two pinball flipper lines? How do you get those? I want those. How do you get them? Every time I see a really petite lady walking down the road with a massive man, I just find myself thinking, I wish I was her. Do you know what I mean? I bet she just feels protected at all times. Because I love a hug, so does my wife, but she gets the best end of the deal. Like, because head on a peck looking up is the best type of hug, isn't it? And when I'm hugging her, she's down like there going, I feel so safe right now. And I'm like, I feel very vulnerable right now. I'm exposed here. A clothesline can take me out. realised even really tough men love a hug more than you think. Tell you how I know that? Boxing, right? You ever watch? Yeah, boxing. You ever watched a boxing match with two men? Two of the toughest men on planet Earth. You think they're going to be punching each other? That's not what happens. Mainly cuddling for 12 rounds, isn't it? Little dance, one jab, then straight in. It was all worth it for this moment in your arms.
Have a terrific weekend. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you on Monday's Bombastic Blogcast. Remember, no such thing as spare change, free lunch, or too much horsepower, and you be sure to take some time today just to thank the good Lord that you're an American.
You mean that's it?